This week's episode of Arrowhead Podcast is brought to you by Mossy Oak, the most advanced camo pattern ever made. Use Mossy Oak Breakup Country to conceal yourself while hunting big game like deer, elk, moose, and turkey. This week on Arrowhead Podcast, we will be covering a few topics in the hunting world like anti-hunters, whether or not there should be a cormorant cull, and we will also talk about how hunting is conservation, and we will be having a special guest joining us, fellow hunter Jordan Brimner. All right, let's get into it. This is Jordan here. How's it going, Jordan?
Oh, not too bad, Satch. How you doing?
Pretty good. What do you think about introducing a cormorant cull? Do you think it would be a good idea or a bad idea?
Honestly, I think a cormorant cull would be a great idea because they're really not good for the environment. They trash up anywhere like that they reside. So getting rid of the cormorants would be a very solid idea, and they reproduce very quickly, and the numbers like are on a static increase. So the better and the more we get out, definitely the better for the environment, no matter where the environment is.
Yeah, I agree. It's becoming a very big problem, killing lots of trees along shoreline, and they can be pretty detrimental to the fish population. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the 50 per day limit? Do you think that's too much, not enough?
I don't think there should be a limit. I'll tell you why, because like, especially when it comes to, like, I'm going to use Point Pelee as an example. You ever go to Middle Island, you'd realize that it's overpopulated, like, through the memo. And it's in basically the middle of nowhere. You got to drive 2 hours by boat to get there. So if there's a 50 per day limit, you're not going to be able to do really any saving for the environment. You're not going to be able to enhance it in any way. 50 is not going to do anything in terms of reducing the amount of cormorants on Middle Island. So I feel like there shouldn't be a limit because they're so detrimental to the environment and the animals and the species around it that 50 per day limit is not going to do anything in terms of protecting the environment. So I think it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. How about the rules that are going to be put in place for the use of them? Do you think it's right that after they're killed, they don't have to be used? You can just get rid of them?
I honestly don't really see a big deal with that. I think they're really not good for anything once they're gone. And the best way to get rid of them is just to dispose of them properly because you don't want dead carcasses lying around everywhere. So honestly, I think it's a pretty overall solid idea, and it's probably the best way to go in terms of removing the species. So, yeah.
I agree with that too. All right, since we have Jordan here today, we're going to ask him about his favorite hunting experience. Jordan's been hunting for about 30 years and has a vast amount of knowledge on hunting and the conservation of species and habitats. So, Jordan, what's your favorite hunting experience?
Oh, I got a good one for you. I was about 12 years old, and my I was about 12 years old, my dad took me out to northern Michigan there, and we all went out to hunt boar. Well, my dad was going to teach me how to use bow and arrow because he says that's the best way to kill the boar out there, you know? And my dad says, unfortunately, he didn't help me much because my dad told me later on that we were all going to split up because boars have very sensitive hearing. So we all split up, went into our separate ways. But about 20 minutes later, you know, I found a huge-sized boar. It was a monster. It made me a little nervous. I took the first shot. I was garbage with it. But I did hit the thing pretty much right in between the eyes. And if you didn't know about boars, they actually have a really, really strong jawline and skull. So it didn't do nothing. In fact, it just made him pissed off, started running at me, made me freaking nervous. And the boar ends up running at me. And he got closer and closer. And I took another shot. Hit him again. Freaking guy said again. Still running at me. Didn't do much to him. The bow and arrow wasn't a smart way to go in terms of my idea. He was just sprinting at me. Made me nervous. At this point, he's about 200 meters from me. Took another shot and missed wildly. I hit a tree behind him. Didn't know what I was doing. Wasn't even close to him. My dad pops out of the bush. Guy's like 3 feet away from me. I'm about to die from this freaking boar. Dad pops out in front of the bush. Pew! All he hears is freaking boar going down. By the time the boar is out, less than a foot away from me. Horns and all, right in front of me. I was I was shocked. It was probably one of the scariest moments of my life. And over the 30 years of me hunting, I can honestly say it was probably the scariest moment of hat hunting. And I've seen a lot of crazy stuff out there. I mean, there was a bear one time that popped up in front of my blind, you know. And, yeah, it was a pretty surreal experience. Thank God for my dad knowing how to shoot a bow. Or else I'd be, I don't know where I'd be today. I probably wouldn't be on the face of the earth. It would have been a pretty sticky situation.
Thanks for your story there, Jordan. It was pretty good. This week's episode of Arrowhead Podcast is also brought to you by Remington, the most reliable, best-selling firearms for over 100 years. All right, now that Jordan's gone, I'd like to talk a little bit about how hunting really is conservation. Even though a lot of people think it's just killing animals and eating them or killing them for sport, what it's really about is it's about spending time with people you love. It's about having fun while you're out there, sharing stories, creating good memories. It's about providing food for your family. And in reality, it also really helps the ecosystem, because when you kill off predators such as coyotes, or if you live up north, bears, wolves, stuff like that, that allows baby animal like fawns, like baby deer, turkeys, baby moose, and a whole lot of other things to be able to survive so they don't get killed. And another thing that shows that hunting really is conservation is how much more money that hunters put towards conservation compared to any other animal rights activist group or anti-hunter group. Hunters have to pay for their license, which goes towards conservation. They have to pay for licenses within their licenses to shoot certain animals. Or say you go to Africa to go hunting, and a lot of people say you shouldn't be allowed to shoot lions, tigers, rhinos, elephants, all those exotic animals that people pay a lot of money to go and shoot for a trophy, and then they donate the meat to the locals that are there. Well, that really helps with conservation, because all the money they pay towards being allowed to shoot that animal, most of it, except for the part that pays their guide, goes back to the animals that they were hunting for conservation efforts, habitat restoration, breeding programs, stuff like that. And when they shoot those animals, the only animals they are allowed to shoot are really old ones that are past their breeding prime that can't breed anymore, or ones that just can't get around very well anymore. They're injured or they're sick, stuff like that. So that just really shows that hunting is more conservation than a sport, even though most people consider it just a sport that people do for fun and say it's cruel. It's not. Hunting is conservation. Okay, well, that's all we have for today, folks. Thanks for tuning in to Arrowhead Podcast. Make sure you come back and listen to it next week. I'll have Brett Jacobs on the show next week. We'll be talking about a bunch of other topics, and it should be very good.